You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the National Party.
Welcome back to The Wire. Our catch-up with the National Party is back on this week with our usual MP, Katie Nimmin. I started off asking about Te Ahu o Te Reo Māori, a program supporting teachers and teaching staff to integrate tikanga and te reo Māori into their classrooms. The funding for the program was recently cut, with Education Minister Erica Stanford pointing to poor mathematics outcomes as a justification for funding reallocation. I also asked about the Fast Track Approvals Bill, now that the list of 149 projects are out for consideration. The types of projects on the list range widely, from the expected housing, energy and infrastructure development, to the less expected Eden Park and prison upgrades. I spoke to Katie Nimmin about each of these issues, starting out with cuts to Te Ahu o Te Reo Māori. I wanted to start off with Te Ahu o Te Reo Māori, a program designed to support teachers to integrate tikanga and te reo Māori into their teaching. Why has the funding been cut for this program?
Yeah, well, look, you know, the important thing for us to do was address the resource need for students to learn maths, and particularly in this case, maths and te reo. And what we found was that that program was being underutilised. And so, look, it was available funding that we felt was very important to put to use to support the learners. And, you know, in this case, we feel that it's been the right decision made.
Mm. And so where will we see this funding reinvested?
So the funding's being reinvested in student resources, particularly in this case, targeted at those students attending Te Kura Kaupapa in Kohangareo, for helping them learn that structured maths. And the resources that obviously need to be developed very specifically for use of te reo language in that learning context, obviously, where they learn in te reo, not in English, like most of the rest of the resources are already designed for.
Mm. The Ministry of Education commissioned an independent report to look at this program, and it seems to strongly report retaining funding there. The report assessed the program as it squared up to Mahi Karona, the Crown's Māori language revitalisation policy, and highlighted this program as a crucial factor in reaching this goal, suggesting that without it, the contributions of the education sector are significantly reduced. Is the government concerned that funding cuts may prevent this goal from being reached in 2040?
Oh, look, no, we don't feel that that's the case. And I think the reason being is that report obviously didn't take into consideration what else that funding could do when it came to learners in particular. And I think that's really important to consider. And so, look, to put it further, there is support out there for people working for government agencies to learn te reo, but also there are amazing programs out there, really affordable for people to privately seek support to learn te reo. And look, in this particular case, we think it's more important that the students have the resources that they need, and that's that funding. Really, we've got to consider the decision made on those outcomes and what we can see the best impact for the learner.
Mm. The report also identified that the program was in high demand, demonstrated by long wait lists for teachers and teaching staff. Will the government introduce a similar replacement program to meet this demand, or rest it on those private organisations you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, look, there's no plan that I'm aware of at the moment, but that's not to say that something may not happen in the future. And look, I think for us, the really important thing, as you're very well aware, you know, with our structured literacy and structured maths programs, that we get those resources right for teachers. You know, when I'm out and about talking to teachers, they say the thing they really need help with is the support for the curriculum. And we're really taking that seriously. We think it's important to have those you know, really good curriculum day sessions for teachers to get their heads around it and to have those resources. And so, you know, there are things we have to prioritise in the education sector at the moment, and the teachers are really well aware of that and very supportive of what we're doing in the curriculum development, especially with structured maths and structured literacy. But by far and away, the feedback we get is that the support with the rollout of the curriculum is what they're asking for, and so we'll focus on that.
Mm. Moving on to the Fast Track Bill now, the list of 149 projects for consideration is now out. Some of the projects on the list have already been rejected for environmental reasons. Why is the government spending time to look at these again?
Oh, well, look, that was always part of this program. There's always various reasons why projects end up in Environment Court, and not always the considerations for the full and sort of all-encompassing aspects of it. And sometimes, look, it's you know, certain people that take those projects to court without all the full background context and information. And look, for us, you know, as we've made really clear, it's all about growth and supporting New Zealand. And as so many of these projects are, they are roading projects, they're housing projects. We've got some quarries, a small amount of mines and a high proportion of energy projects. And these are all really important, as nobody could dispute the need we have for an increased number of energy projects to support energy sustainability and stability as well. So, you know, it's important for us to make sure that the process is robust, which is exactly what the Select Committee is going through at the moment. And so these projects, obviously, a scheduled amendment, and I think they're a good signal of the priority of the government to support growth, especially in housing and infrastructure and energy.
For a government set on cutting costs, and that being one of the main campaign ideals that through last year, running a project through approval processes after it's already been done once seems a little bit counterintuitive, especially if there's a chance it'll get rejected again. Is this at all a bit hypocritical?
Look, I don't think that's the case at all. I think, you know, there are second chances for almost everything in our society. And, you know, what we've very much been aware of in the way that this has been designed is it's a one-stop shop process. And what we find with so many projects is the fact that they have to go through the various different acts, whether it's the Wildlife Act, the Conservation Act, the RMA, Resource Management Act as well, among many others. We find that this process that has been designed very similar to the COVID Fast Track bill is a situation and a process for these projects to go through one process and be considered in its entirety, rather than tested against the various different acts that have different people making those considerations when it comes to consent. So, you know, this is really important for us to get that right. And no, we don't think that is a waste in any respect, because in some cases, this is the one thing that's going to help get a lot of stuff moving. You know, in some cases, these consents take years, if not up to 8 years, and this process is going to save a lot of time and a lot of money in aggregating that for us.
A lot of the projects, as you mentioned, are urgent housing, energy, infrastructure and mining developments, issue this government has prioritised when talking about the benefits of the bill. There's also an upgrade to Eden Park in there. Is this the kind of urgent development that really needs to be fast-tracked?
Well, look, if you ask Auckland, then absolutely. You know, these projects have all been put forward, and I think it's really interesting to see around the country what each region has put forward as their vital projects. You know, there's one in Napier, for example, that's a bore and water treatment expansion for the region. And, you know, it's not something that I would necessarily have said, oh, yeah, that was a pivotal project for the region. But the city has put that forward, and I think that's what we've got to respect, is that those areas have identified those projects as fundamental. And, you know, that's what we've got to go through the process of, because as a government, we're not always the ones to identify the opportunities, and more often we have to listen to the communities.
There's another couple of developments in there for Coronet Village in Otago, which involves a ski lift and restaurant, the Hills Resort development as well, which involves a golf course and resort. Golfing and skiing aren't exactly hobbies that a lot of New Zealanders actively engage in, but I'm guessing that's the same approach there, right? Is fast-tracking these policies maybe part of what the regions are putting forward, or how do these shape up against housing?
Absolutely. And if you look at Central Otago, they are a tourism destination, and that's exactly what they'll be putting that forward for. You know, if you think about Queenstown and Wanaka, what are they well known for? And they're well known for their international tourism. And we've got to think about how that contributes to our economy and how we regrow our economy and get, you know, growth of people's incomes. And we have to develop these opportunities. So, you know, absolutely a part of that is housing and infrastructure and energy for those that live in New Zealand. But we've also got to think, what are we doing as an export market? And tourism's a big part of that to grow our economy, and attracting international visitors is a big part of that.
That was the National Party's Katie Nimmin speaking to me about Te Ahu o Te Reo Māori and the list of projects for the Fast Track Approvals Bill.
That was our weekly chat with the National Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.